This is new for me, okay? So bear with me. Yes, I did share on worship last year, slightly from a different angle, more addressing worship leaders and stuff. So I'm going to change it a little bit for this year, for us here, bring it into context. I think the vision for us this year at Word of Grace is that we want to go wider and we want to go deeper. And this is in every area of church life. We want to go wider and deeper in our understanding of worship, wider in our expression and what we include in worship, deeper in all the aspects of worship. We want to go wider and deeper in our life groups, wider and deeper in our preaching, wider and deeper in reaching out to people. So it's wider and deeper, okay? I think we could very easily jump into what do we do in worship, how do we do it. But I think before we get into that, I always like to answer the question, why? Why worship? Why do we worship at all? Is this some sort of tradition that has been passed down to us, you know, over thousands of years or hundreds of years that Christians sing, Christians love to sing? Or is there something more? And the basis for all our beliefs must be the Word of God. If it is not biblical, don't do it. Okay? That has always been our core belief here at Word of Grace. If it is not in the Bible, don't do it. But if it is in the Bible, then we have a responsibility and an obligation to obey. So there's a lot on worship, but I'm going to try and give you as much as I can in the next 20 minutes. Okay? First and foremost, why do we worship? We worship because we were created for worship. The Westminster Catechism says the chief end of man is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. That is our chief purpose for which we have been created. The chief end of man is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. We were created to have a relationship with God. But as you know, what happened in Genesis, that relationship was broken as a result of sin. And we were separated from God. But God, in His rich love and mercy, sent Jesus to die for our sin. Not only so that sin could be dealt with, but that relationship with God be restored. God was always looking for a relationship. Okay? And Piper tells us, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. And in Psalm 135, verse 18, it says, it's talking about idols there. In that context, it says, those who make them will become like them. Yes, everyone who trusts in them. We become like what we worship. And that is a powerful statement. Okay, that means the more I worship God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, the more I will become like Him and reflect His glory. I will not become God, I will reflect Christ-likeness in me. You understood that, yeah? So worship is a choice, okay? We choose to identify which kingdom we belong to. Do we belong to the kingdom of God or do we belong to darkness? And every time we glorify God, it's a declaration to principalities and powers who we belong to. Everybody worships someone or something. Do you agree with me? For some people, it's money. For some, it's other relationships. For some, it's other gods. But everybody worships something or someone. And whatever it is that becomes the focus of your worship is what you will begin to reflect. And you see, right through the Bible, God talks to the Israelites and he calls them, says, "You idolaters, you adulterers." And the two go hand in hand. Idolatry, adultery. What is it? It's a betrayal of devotion. It's a betrayal of where your devotion should lie. Okay? What was meant for God, you are giving to someone or something else. Like in adultery, affection that is meant, or devotion or commitment or covenant that is meant for one individual in a covenant relationship is now being given to someone else. It's a betrayal. So when we worship anything else other than God, it's idolatry, it's adultery. Worship is commanded in Scripture. John 4 tells us God is looking for worshippers who will worship him in spirit and in truth. It doesn't say God is looking for worship. It says God is looking for worshippers. He's looking for you. It's always about a relationship. Okay? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Ephesians 5:18 and 19, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music to the Lord with all your heart." So you say, singing, singing, singing. The psalms are full of, "Sing to the Lord a new song." Sing, you know, there's so many. All the psalms are talking about, tells the trees to clap their hands, tells nature to sing, tells people to sing. So the singing is an integral part of our worship, and it's one of the chief ways in which we glorify God. There are different forms of worship. So music, melody, art, dance, creativity, all these things give a voice to the mystery and the hiddenness of the human heart. And these are all different ways in which we can express worship. Who is worship for? As we've already stated, it is for God. What is the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. Okay? Deuteronomy 6:5, and again in Luke 10:27. Okay? We are called to love and worship Jesus. Worship is about the presence of God. It's not about how good I feel. It's not about, did I like the song? Didn't I like the song? I didn't like the music. Worship is God-centered. It's Christ-centered. It's cross-centered. It is the focus, the object of worship is Jesus. Worship is relational. It's a heart response to God. There are three aspects of worship. If you want to break it up, there's thanksgiving, there's praise, there's worship. Thanksgiving is a response to God for what he has done to us. Thank you, God, for healing me of my sickness. Thank you for finance. Thank you, you know, the different things we thank God for. Praise is an acknowledgement of who he is. God, you're a great God. You're King above all kings. You are the one who sits enthroned on our praises. You are enthroned above the heavenly host. You are the Lamb of God that once was slain. Attributing to God all his greatness. And worship, finally, is where we bow low and we acknowledge God for who he is. Do you need to sacrifice in thanksgiving and praise? Think about it. Yes. Do you need to feel like it in thanksgiving and praise? No. That's why it's called the sacrifice of praise. whether you feel like it or not. You're saying, God, I am bringing this sacrifice. In worship, you are the sacrifice. You are the one who's letting everything go. And you're saying, I become the offering. I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. Okay? So you are putting yourself there and say, God, I lay my life down before you. In praise and thanksgiving, you make a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. In worship, you're saying, I sacrifice and I lay it all down. Worship is basically saying, God, I'm here. I offer myself to you. And I want to just behold your goodness. Okay? It says, what we read earlier, it says, you trust what you worship. Okay? There are people who put their trust in money. That's what they worship. They put their trust in certain relationships. That's what they're worshiping. But when we trust in God, you become like what you trust. Okay? And trust is an expression of worship. And in worship, you become like Him. So, in worship, there are different things we do. We worship, we minister to God, we minister to the believers, because it says each one of you come with a word of instruction, a psalm, a hymn. The gifts of the Spirit are given for the building up of the local church and for the edifying, and we minister to the lost. When we minister to God first, the second two get taken care of, which is ministering to one another and ministering to the lost. So, I have to skip bits. Is worship a means to an end? That would be very sad. Worship is not a means to an end. It is a focus on the person who is worthy of worship. Okay? It's like this. What if my children only hugged me and gave me a kiss because they wanted a sweet? How would you feel? As parents, how would you feel? It's not used, not proper. Payment for affection. You know what that's called? Uh-huh. Worse. Worse. Payment for affection is prostitution. Isn't it? Hits you, right? And so often we come to God in worship saying, I'll worship you, you give me this, you give me that. That is not worship. Worship is giving Him of your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, because He is worthy, full stop. But because God is rich in love and gracious and abounding in His goodness, He pours out His blessing lavishly on us. That could be, that is just because of the nature of God. He is good. And there is always something that happens in worship, because God cannot withhold His goodness from us. When He sees us delighting in Him, He delights in us. And part of His delight in us is His blessing that He just pours out on us. Okay, so like what Lasya reminded us in the morning, he says, she said, focus on who God is and breakthrough will happen. Don't look at the circumstance. Don't come with this trying to think that you have to placate an angry God or a God that needs to be bribed. No, no, no. Say, God, you are in heaven. It says, God, the God in heaven does what He pleases. And He's got good things for us. Jeremiah, I have good plans for you. Romans 8:28, in all things God works together for our good. That is the core essence of this wonderful God we worship. So we need to be careful in this and not shift our focus from the wonder of the person that we are worshiping, okay, to what we think we can get from worship. Let us always be enthralled with His beauty. So how do we worship? We worship from a place of identity, not to get identity. You worship as a son or daughter of God, not to become a son and daughter of God. You are a son and daughter of God. Therefore, you are able to worship Him because now His Spirit dwells in you. It says His Spirit in us cries, Abba, Father. Even that ability to worship is a grace gift. Okay? Because now His Spirit dwells in us. So what do we do when we come together? Oftentimes you've heard us say, bring a scripture, bring a psalm, bring a song, bring a testimony. All this is done to, a big word, edify, which we don't use in today's language, is to encourage, to build up, to strengthen one another. Okay? Somewhere along the line, the church lost this. And from corporate worship, it became front-led. It became the exclusive right and privilege of a few. And what was in the Old Testament, where you had a very select group of people called the Levites, do you know the cross broke that? The cross has now declared all of us priests and kings to our God. Right? The Bible tells us all of us have something to contribute. But somewhere we lost it. And again there came a clergy and laity divide. Okay? And in traditional churches, the normal, ordinary people of the congregation cannot even cross a certain portion of the church. I'm saying, where did you get this from? This is unscriptural. Please show it to me in the New Testament. Does God say that this place is the sanctuary and this is holy? Show it to me in the Bible. Okay? So God has called all of us. He's given all of us the office of a priest and a king. We are all prophets. If you read in Corinthians, there's a whole list of gifts of the Spirit. In Corinthians 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, it says the gifts are given for the common good. 1 Corinthians 14 specifically targets prophecy. It says it's there for the strengthening and encouraging and building up of the church. Paul encourages us in verse 12. He says, excel in the gifts that build up the church. 26, he says, everyone. Can we say everyone? Everyone. Not few professionals, okay? Everyone. There's a psalm, hymn, a spiritual song, a word of instruction, a revelation. And he says, all this must be done in proper order. Verse 29 says, prophecy should be weighed. That means we need to check it. Weigh means check. Check. Is this in line with Scripture? Very briefly, what is prophecy? It's basically revealing the heart of God for a particular situation, for a group of people. Sometimes prophecy is foretelling, telling you of what is to come, okay? Or can be telling you what is God's intent for the now. How do we know this is from God? It will never contradict Scripture. It will not condemn. What does it say? It's there for the building up and strengthening. Okay? That's a slight difference between the Old Testament prophets. They had a particular function. And the New Testament said, prophecy is there for our strengthening. And each one of us can do that. How do we do this? By being rooted in the Word of God. When you know the Word of God, when you know the heart of God, you are able to tune into His voice. And how does it come? Comes as a thought. Not a voice from heaven. Comes as an impression in our mind. May come as a picture. May come as a vision. Maybe something you see and your attention is suddenly drawn to it. And God gives you an impression of what He wants to communicate to His people. And we would love to see more and more of you step out in that. It may start with just one sentence, but as you are faithful with that one sentence, God will give you deeper and wider revelation of His heart for individuals and for us as a body. Okay? So we value your participation. That is why we always make room for it. So next Sunday, we'd like to, if you've never done it before, maybe all you can do is say, I'm going to read two verses from the Psalms or from any other portion of Scripture that you think will encourage people. Can you do that? Through the week, just think of two verses. I'm not asking for long text to be read. And you will be amazed at how God speaks. Time and time again, we have seen here, people have not discussed with each other what they want to share. But one sharing builds upon the other, builds upon the other. And it's like, this is like an orchestra. God is the conductor. I think I sent a quote some time back. It's like we're all being tuned. We're not being tuned to each other. We're being tuned to a tuning fork. That's the standard. And I tune myself against this. And if I'm not in line, I get myself in line. Meher does the same. So here's the standard. The standard is Jesus. And when we all tune ourselves to this standard, will we not be in harmony? Absolutely. So when we're all listening to God and saying, God, speak to us, what is it you want to say? There is going to be a beautiful symphony of worship that we will begin to enjoy and express. And this is the deeper that we want to go into in 2018. The wider is that we see all of you prophesy. Words of knowledge, words of instruction, healing, not to for a select few, but for everybody. I can go on, but I think this gives you, in a nutshell, why do we worship? We were created for worship. We are created to have a relationship with God. God is worthy of worship. We are commanded in Scripture. That is the first and the greatest command. How do we worship? We worship in spirit and in truth. God is looking for worshipers. We worship together, each of us bringing a contribution. We worship wanting to usher in the presence of God. We worship because God is worthy of worship, not because we want to get something from Him. That would not be nice. A byproduct of our heartfelt worship is God blesses us anyway. And we want to see God's presence come down. When God's presence comes down here, trust me, the unbeliever will be saying, surely God is in their midst. And we've heard this time and time again. New people who come to church say, there's a positive vibe here. They don't know what to call it. They don't have the vocabulary for it. So I felt good. I felt at peace. There's a positive vibe here. I would say that vibe is Jesus. Okay? That's His presence. What you are unable to explain in words is simply the presence of God. You and I are present, the presence bearers of God. Do you know that? We are His image bearers because He dwells in us. We are made in His likeness and image. Wherever we go, we take His presence with us. So when you go into Kaka Halwai, Jesus walks right in. Vinci, light comes. Helena's is lit up because there's Meher shining like this bright star. I mean, we're in the majority. Me and Jesus, we can take on the world. These are not cliches. That is the truth. It's the light of the world that has come and made His dwelling amongst us and in our hearts. We are a privileged people. You talk to anybody else and you say, do you hear the voice of God? They'll say, you're mad or what? Huh? But we, with great confidence, we can say, God spoke to me. And they look at you like, what, you got some special line? Yes, we do. We do. Each one of us. So let's come and worship God for who He is, because He is worthy and He is worth our devotion and our worship. And we're going to see something new next Sunday, wider and deeper.
Amen. Wasn't that great? Yeah, wider and deeper. I love that. You know, and thank you, Navaz, for opening up all about worship. Really, the Father is looking for worshipers. And we need to become, say, Lord, help me to become that kind of worshiper. Amen. Let's stand together. Come. Lord, we thank you that we could gather here this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you that your gaze is upon us, because you are looking for worshipers. True worshipers would worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to grow as worshipers, Lord. Lord, come by your spirit, purify our hearts, Lord, that we would offer a sacrifice of praise. We would lift up holy hands to worship you. Oh, Lord, help us to grow in our worship of you, in our love for you. Thank you for this time together, Lord. Help us to grow wider and deeper in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you.